You have your Bibles. I want you to turn with me this morning to the book of James, chapter 4. Amen. I'm believing God to touch and minister today. Amen. There's a lot of things going on in the world. And when we start talking about the future, everybody seems to be thinking about it. Today, we're going to be talking about facing the future. This is graduating Sunday, but this is something everybody needs to think about. And, you know, a lot of us don't really contemplate our future the way we ought to. You know, many of us get up in the morning and just hope we make it through the day. Some have such plans, their day is just messed up before it gets started because they got it all mapped out and no place for nothing else to come in. Amen. And, you know, that in itself can be bad. Y'all wonder what I'm doing. I'm killing this phone in case Caleb calls again. Glory. I normally don't bring it with me, but I just realized it was in my pocket, and I don't want to get a phone call in front of the church again, even if it is from North Dakota. Glory. Amen. I'm really hinting that y'all would do likewise. I know you're going to go, well, I might get a call. You know, I remember when we used to didn't care if we got a call. Church was important. And if it's really important, they'll call somebody outside and we'll get the message to you quick. Amen. And inevitably, about halfway through my sermon, somebody will ring. Glory. I know I'm popular right now. I can tell by looking at you. But I will tell you this morning, if I see you texting while I'm preaching, I'm going to ask you what you're texting. Because I've seen people supposedly reading their Bible off the book, and if you're typing, you're not reading. Hello? It becomes very obvious when you... Smile. I asked my wife yesterday, I said, anybody call and tell you it was your happy birthday? She said, I've got texts from all kind of people. I'm like, gee, whatever happened to the day when you call somebody and say, hey, I just wanted you to know I thought enough about you to waste some time to call you. Now, hello. Y'all missed it, but I just told you yesterday was my wife's birthday. Amen. She's old. All I can tell you is she graduated from high school like 38 years ago. Glory. No, 39 years ago. I'm sorry. She graduated the year we got married. Amen. So she graduated 39 years ago. So y'all figure that out any way you want to. Amen. And she didn't graduate early. Thought I'd help you out. James chapter 4. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanish away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Spirit. Move on us with your love, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Praise God. You know, we love to think about the future. I mean, we got folks that read their horoscope this morning before they came to church because they want to make sure what the future is. And we have people that plan by that. I remember one time I had a guy I worked with that would not work on certain days if the horoscope was wrong. Hello? You know, we got church folks that's going online, see if they can find an online palm reader. Hello, might as well. They can't read it no better online than they can if you're sitting there. And we got people at all time looking up ways of finding out the future because we all think about our future. We're worried about our future. I mean, even Job said, if a man dies, is he going to live again? Because he was thinking about his future. And the reality is that's where we are. We make a lot of distance about it. And I, you know, one writer said this, one day our generation's going to be the population, to rule the population. We'll keep on waiting. Waiting on the world to change. Amen. Y'all remember that? You remember when we were all teenagers? Some of y'all can't remember that long, but I do. It's been a while. I graduated 40 years ago. I don't mind telling you. Amen. Actually, 41 years ago. May get longer if I stand here. Amen. But the reality is, I remember when I was a teenager, I couldn't wait till we ruled the world. And we took over and about destroyed the place. So, you know, the truth of the matter is, we said, we're going to rule the world. We're going to make changes. And then we kept waiting on the change, and the changes have taken place. Let me tell you, there's a lot of things happened in this world since I was a teenager that I wished wouldn't have happened. I mean, I can remember when I was a teenager, gas wasn't but 19 cents a gallon. There's been a lot of changes since I got, come on, church. I remember when I started preaching, the pastor's salary was about $200 a week. I'm glad they make a little more than that now. Amen. But the reality is that's the way life was back in those days. And things have changed, but you know, we keep waiting on change. But most of us, when it comes to predicting the future, we're not real good at it. Let's face it, most psychics, they got a 50-50 chance of getting it right. Hello? And that's where we are. But the reality is we live in a world where we understand the future. You know, I remember the book, 88 Reasons Why the Lord's Going to Come in 1988. Y'all remember that? Can you imagine that household in 89? You know what's really sad is that best-selling book, 88 Reasons Why the Lord's Going to Come in 1988, was followed up by another book, Rapture Report, 1989. You know what the first sentence said? I made a mistake. I could have wrote that sentence. I didn't even have to research. Glory. Some of y'all act like y'all don't remember that. I remember people buying that book. It was running off the shelf like all kind of stuff. People buying that book, and it was September of 1988. We're supposed to leave the world. And I was preaching for Tom George. Y'all have met Tom. He's a friend of mine. Tom walked in the kitchen that morning. He looked at me and he said, who would be gone in the rapture if it took place this morning? I said, well, it wouldn't be you because you're here with me. He said, really? I'm serious. I said, well, why? He said, I want you to call them, see if we got left. Glory. This morning, I want to talk to you about mistakes we typically make when we're thinking and preparing for the future. First of all, and it's all right here in what I read to you, in the book of James, chapter 4, verse 13, he said, go now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. The first thing we do is we have a bad habit of planning without God. Somebody said, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, we get ready to go do something. We make our plans and we don't include God in our plans. We're going to go and we're going to buy, we're going to sell, we're going to make money. We got all our future. You know, I remember years ago, I was walking through the mall and I ran into a young man, and the bad part about it was I actually went to school with his dad, and I knew he was a great athlete. I knew he was a scholar person, and I talked to him. I said, man, what are you going to do when you get out of high school? Because I knew they were looking at him, possibly a pro baseball contract. Several places were looking at him play college football. And I said, what are you going to do? He said, well, I'm probably going to go ahead and sign a baseball because I can play that without getting hurt as much. And he said, I understand I'm going to go in the top 10, which meant back then close to $1 million guaranteed. And he said, I'm probably going to do that. Then I'll pay my way through school. But eventually I'm going to be a lawyer like my uncle. And I said, well, that's awesome. I said, what are you going to do when you get through with your playing career and you get to be a lawyer? He said, well, I'm going to get married. And I'm like, great, you're going to wait that long to get married. He said, yes, yeah. Where are you going to have that? He said, have kids. I said, at that age, can you? He smiled. He said, well, that's my plans. I plan to get all this taken care of before I really get serious with somebody. Just so y'all know, a couple of years later, I was introduced to his wife. He didn't make it for his plans, but he did eventually become a lawyer. And I said, what are you going to do after that? He said, I'm going to practice law and make money. And he said, then I'm going to retire and move to Florida. I said, man, what are you going to do after that? And he said, I'm going to die. I said, and when you die, what are you going to do? He said, I hadn't thought about that. And can I tell you, that's what's wrong with a lot of people in our churches today, a lot of people in the world. We're planning out our life, what we're going to do. And some of these young people coming out of high school, they got their idea of what they're going to do. They're going to change the world. And don't none of y'all talk to them like, well, you shouldn't do that, because every one of us, when we got out of high school, thought we had it made. We were so smart. I mean, I was a four-letter guy in school, D-U-M-B. Not really. I really wasn't, but I could have been. But, you know, I had guys coming out of school that were dumb that thought they were going to be president of the United States one day. And I'm like, dude, you can't even be president of the local union, much less the United States. But, you know, the reality is we thought we was going to do all kind of stuff. I come out of high school, you know, I was buying into this idea I could be anything I wanted to be. I could do anything I wanted to do, go anywhere I wanted to go. The problem was I had a destiny that was set for me long before I ever got old enough to know what was going on. You say, how do you know that? Because my dad told me one day, the day you were born, God spoke to me and said you would take my place. So I was destined to be who I am right now. I couldn't be what I wanted to be. I couldn't be a rocket scientist or anything like that. I was destined to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I tried to put my life together without him, and the end result, my life fell apart. But when I got him where it needed to be and I let God loose in my life, everything began to change. Could you say amen? And when we make plans without God, we're asking for trouble. Remember, the first thing in our lives is to put God first. Any of y'all remember the Clampets? Come on, church, smile. You young folks ought to know that. That's the only real country rap song. Once was a man, his name was Jed. Poor man. Well, he had a nephew, Jethro. He was the intelligent person. He finished sixth grade. Here's the wisdom of Jethro. Malt. Your malt ain't nothing. You can make a whole page off, but you put a one in one of them things and it gets mean. Hello? Well, we're all alts. We're nothing till we get the one in the right place. But we get that one in the right place, and we got authority. We got power. We got something we can do. We can accomplish something when we get the one where it belongs. But without the one, we are nothing. You say, wait a minute, preacher. No, in him I live. In him I move. In him I have my being. And by him, I am more than a conqueror. And if I make my plans in my life without God, I've made plans that will never work. Could you say amen? Listen. Luke 14, chapter 28. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first to count the cost whether he hath sufficient to finish it? Lest happily after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consult whether he be able to 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him, or 20,000. Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsake not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciples. He said, who is it tries to build anything or accomplish anything without sitting down and asking yourself, what's it going to cost for me to get from plan A to plan B? What's it going to cost for me to do something that's going to be worth it? Could you say amen? Proverbs 16:1, he said this, the preparation of the heart in man is the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. For all the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirit. Proverbs 16:8-9. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? We've got to get to that place where we understand if we let God take control of our life, life is a whole lot easier. Some of you saying, well, I'm not called to preach. I'm not talking about people being called to preach. God directs everybody's life. We all are born with a purpose. Some of us are preachers, some are teachers, some are just good church members. But God is the one in charge of your life, and you need to let Him put you together. There would be less divorce if people prayed about who they were marrying instead of just getting married out of lust. Glory. Because you see, you'll never stop loving somebody, but you can fall out of lust. I don't know who come up with a lie. I don't love them no more. You never loved them to start with. You don't love them no more. See, the problem we got is most of you don't understand what love is. Love is when your happiness is totally hinged on whether or not that other person is happy. Somebody else say amen. I'm looking at some wives going, yeah, I know, but I mean, you ought to understand. You've heard the old saying, mama ain't happy, daddy ain't happy. It can be pretty rough. Glory. Hello? Smile. This ain't Mother's Day, so I'll go on with a sermon. Glory. Amen. We've got to realize seeking God for our direction is important. In Psalms 119, through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. For the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? If we follow God, God's got an example to make life easy for us. Amen. Listen, the psalmist wrote this in the 37th division of Psalm. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. In the day we're living, we got folks that's constantly comparing themselves to everybody else, and they don't understand why they're not meeting up to everybody else's standards. I'm not everybody else. All I've got to be is what God wants me to be for Him. I'm not worried about those that's not living right making money. Let them make money. What's he going to do when they die? It's not important whether or not I got more money than anybody in this world. What's important is where I stand with God when the trump of God sounds or when I'm called home to be with the Lord. Could you say amen to that, church? He said, fret not thyself over evildoers, neither be thou envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and they will wither like the green herb. But he said, trust in the Lord and do good. And what's going to happen when you do that? Verily you shall be fed, and verily you shall dwell in the land. But he didn't stop there. He went on to say, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desire of thy heart. Commit thy way to the Lord, and trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And then he turns around and said, rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in the way, because a man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in the wise that do evil. You say, what are you talking about? He said, first of all, don't worry about people. Rest in God. Commit your way to God. Delight yourself in the Lord. That's what life's all about. It's getting God in your life where you can be happy no matter what's going on. Glory. Secondly, y'all ought to be excited. It's not 12 and I'm already at point 2. Listen to what James says. Whereas ye know not what shall be the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanish away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, ye shall live and do this. Or that, but now ye rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil. The next thing we tend to do wrong is when we come to facing the future is to allow our foolish pride to presuppose on everything. Making arrogant presumptions. Hello? James chapter 4 and the B part of the 6th verse. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Amen. Guy standing out in the farm working on his fence, and his buddy comes walking down the road with a cow. He said, what are you doing? So I'm going to sell my cow. He said, well, if it be the Lord's will. He said, hey, I raised this cow, I've milked this cow, and I've decided to sell this cow. I don't need God's permission. He goes down the road a little while. The guy comes back down the road, face all skin up, some teeth missing. He said, "What happened?" He said, "I had some guys jump me, beat me up, take my cow." He said, "What are you doing?" He said, "If it's the Lord's will, I'm going to take care of these things and go home." Glory. It's sad, church, but a lot of us are not worried about the Lord's will. See, some of you presuppose sitting in front of me that if you're not called to preach, God doesn't have a will for you. God has a plan for everybody in this building. And if you get in that plan, you're the happiest person in the world. But you will never know true joy as long as you're trying to go the way you want to go when God's trying to take you in a different direction. Amen. It's like trying to swim upstream. If you're not a good swimmer, you're not going upstream. And if the water's going fast enough, I don't care how good you are, you're not going upstream. But if you learn how to let that stream take you where you need to go. Come on, church. Amen. You ever noticed eagles can fly without using their wings? Them some massive birds to be able to do that. But once they get airborne and get up in the air, they can actually just lock their wings, and they actually do. We learned actually to use airfoils and stuff on planes to fly them. By watching eagles, they flip their wings and move them to catch the wind. And they do what's called giving with the wind. And they use that wind to take them. And they understand that at certain levels, the air is going in different directions. So wherever they're going, they just get to that place, move their wings, catch the wind, and it takes them where they need to go. And church, some of us need to understand, we need that same God-given gift where we move with the wind instead of trying to make the wind take us somewhere we don't need to be or try to swim against the tide. We need to get a hold of the will of God for our life. Quit presuming this is what God wants. And let God loose in our life. Could you say amen? I remember a young man was evangelizing, couldn't keep a revival. He'd come to camp meeting and he'd beg us to help him, and all of us that was evangelists, we'd find people to book him. He could sing. His wife could sing. Hello? Y'all may not understand that, but I had guys tell me, said, "What do? When you come for revival?" I said, "Preach." "Do you sing?" I said, "Not unless I have to." They was folks told me I'd never make it as an evangelist because I wasn't a singer. I spent 35 years not making it, but I couldn't sing. Now, I could sing down to glory because when I went to singing, God had moved, keeping people from dying. But this guy had the gifts. He could sing. She could sing. They both looked good. Both of them looked like they stepped off the front page of GQ. You know, every hair in place. He could button his coat without it pulling. Some of y'all might have missed that all together. Glory. We'd help him get revivals, and it wouldn't be a few months. He'd be out there again. I can't get nobody to book me. And he was not a bad preacher. Finally, one day, he gave up the ghost, quit trying to be an evangelist. Asked the overseer to help him find a church. He took a church running 35 people. 6 months later, he was running 300. What was the difference? He quit swimming against the river. He got in the will of God for his life. Today, pastor the church running about 1,500, 2,000 folks. Amen. You say, why? Because God had a place for him to be and a thing for him to do. And when he finally quit swimming against the tide and started doing what God wanted him to do and began to quit presuming that God was going to just help him where he was, amen, God began to move in his life. Church, can I tell you, if you're going to make it in the future, you need to know something about what God's will is for your life and just quit presuming this is what God wants me to do. Glory. Life is a mystery. And if we're arrogant and assumptuous, it can mess us up. Matthew 6:31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, or wherewithal shall you be clothed. For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth what you have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. He didn't write that to preachers. He wrote to everybody trying to live right. Amen. So if you follow God today, things will straighten up. But listen, lastly, delaying your discipleship. See, we got people who says, well, I'll serve God sooner or later. We got folks in the church that you felt like God wanted you to do something, and you keep putting it off because you want to wait till there's a better time. Well, notice this. James said, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. When faced with the future, we need to understand that God is who we need to serve. It's especially tempting for those who are graduating from high school. They're fixing to get out from under mom and dad's close watchful eye because they're going to school, or they're moving, or they're going to be out of school now, and they get to do what they want to and decide when they're going to come home. And all of a sudden, when the bridle comes off, the horse starts running. And then he gets in briar patches and steps in the hole and breaks his leg. And next thing you know, you're back over at mom and dad's going, I need some help. Huh? Well, you know what? We as Christians have a bad habit of doing exactly the same thing. We think we're out of the watchful eye of God, so we decide we'll just do what we want to do when we want to do it, and we'll serve God whenever it's convenient. I got to go on. Anyone who knows good and he ought to do it, it's sin. Early I mentioned a line from a song. Listen to what it said. One day our generation is going to rule the population, so we keep on waiting for the world to change. It's a catchy little song, but most of us are still sitting around waiting, and the world's not changing, because the only person that can change your world is you. You're the one that's got to make up your mind you're not happy where you are. You're the one that's got to make up your mind things aren't going like I want them to go. And so therefore, I need to do something to change. Not just me, but the people I come in contact with. You look at this. Jesus changed 12 men's lives. And yet, 21 centuries later, our lives are still being changed by the effect he had on those 12 men. Because those 12 men affected everybody they came in contact with. And then those detected everybody, and it just keeps growing like a ripple in a river. And we've got to understand that right now God is putting people in key areas of your life that you can influence for him, to do something for him. And look, church, I'm still not talking to preachers. One of the greatest soul winners I ever met was just a member of a church in Satsuma, Alabama. But he got a hold of the fact God wanted him to be a witness. And even though he couldn't remember A, B, or C, he's one of the greatest soul winners I ever met in my life. Because he loved people and he cared. And he made effect on their lives because he sold out to God. And we need to understand that when we sell out to God, quit worrying about what's going to happen. God can use us. Listen, Hosea chapter 13, and I'm going to close in just a moment. And now they sin more and more, and have made them molten images of the silver and idols according to their own understanding, all the works of the craftsmen. They say to them, let the men that sacrifice kiss these calves. Therefore they shall be as the morning cloud, and they shall in the early dew that pass away, as the chaff is driven, and the whirlwind out of the floor, and the smoke out of the chimney. Yet I am the Lord thy God. From the land of Egypt, thou shalt know no more, no God but me, for there is no Savior besides me. I did not know thee in the wilderness and in the land of great drought. Or I did know you when you were in the wilderness and in the land of great drought. He said, you got a choice. You can be like the clouds. You can be like a puff of smoke. You can appear, blow away, and nobody even know you ever existed. Or you can let God in your life, and God can use you to change somebody. And everybody has an opportunity to affect change in someone around them if we let God have his way in our life. Facing the future, the choice is yours. Do you want to get blown away and nobody know who you are? Or do you want to make an impact on somebody's life? Church, have you ever seen people that pass away and folks think, well, that guy didn't do much? You ever been in a funeral home? I have. When somebody walks in, walks up to that person's, their family, and says, you know, I remember when this man or this woman took time out of their life to care about me. And it changed me. And it done something for me. A few weeks ago, I was preaching my aunt's funeral. One of her daughters, who's not really her daughter, she's adopted. She was crying, probably more than the daughters were. You know what she said? She said, when I was too little to know any different, she took me in her home, and she made me one of her girls. And she said, I've lived my entire life not knowing, other than the fact that I saw the paperwork when I got old enough, that I was adopted. She said, Mom and Dad treated me just like one of the kids. And she said, now I've got to let go of a person that changed my life and my destiny. I want to tell you something, folks. There's people around you. You can change their life. You can affect their destiny if you sell out to God and let God have his way in your life. Would you stand with me all over the house? Father, I thank you today, God, for your love, for your mercy. I pray, God, you would touch us with your grace. Move on us with your power. Father God, use us with your glory. Touch us with your grace. Father, it's in Jesus' name. Lord, have your way.